This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Interesting sort of soul-searching song, singing voice, does he not? Good morning, welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy. Hey, it's March already. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my buddy Big Ed Davis, thank you for joining us here on Freedom Works. We are going to be talking in a few minutes with Samuel Gregg of the Acton Institute. We're going to talk about the fight, internecine fight, with conservatives, among conservatives, over the size of government. You know, conservatives, you always thought of small government, right? When you think of conservatives. And yet our government is expanding with or without conservatives all the time. So we're going to talk about that. Who's winning that war? And Donald Trump, did you watch him yesterday afternoon on the stage in Orlando? At the CPAC conference? Was he a hit? Was he a bust? Is he still believing in that he won the election? We're going to talk about that and get some thoughts on it, along with Andrew Cuomo. We're going to get some thoughts on that from our eye in the northern sky, Angelo Ceresi. Indeed. Stay tuned for that as well. And we're dusting off Wilbur the Duck, our latest edition of Campus Quackery. Dr. Seuss is now a racist in a particular school district. We're going to talk about that. Oh, boy. And in our ultimate top 10, TripAdvisor's top 10 American beaches for 2021. I think Ed knows what's number one. We'll find out. Well, we got a lot to talk about today. And I can't wait to talk with Samuel Gregg. We just finished the CPAC, which is a conservative political action conference in Orlando. So we're going to talk about the size of government and the fight among conservatives about the size of government. Now, most of the time, conservatives want less federal government. They think it's an intrusion on our freedoms. I think they're right in general about that. So we had the CPAC conference in Orlando, and among other people that made a presentation there was our beloved Governor Ron DeSantis. And then, I guess, Ed, you were watching DeSantis. He's a busy guy. He's kind of the golden boy of the Republican Party right now. And he apparently made an appearance on Mark Levin's program on Fox last night. How'd that go?
Well, one of the things that Mark Levin wanted to touch on was the fact that Governor DeSantis was supposed to do the distribution of the vaccine, COVID vaccine, a certain way that was drawn out by the experts, supposedly. And Governor DeSantis said some of it was just where you had to say, what are you talking, what? They wanted him actually to vaccinate prisoners before some elderly, and that just didn't fly. So in his mind, he was just like, you know, we're going to do things a little bit different here. What Levin said is you're doing all these things right, and states are now starting to follow your blueprint of what you're doing things. Has Dr. Fauci ever called you and said, hey, you know, what are you doing there that we can learn from? And he said, no, absolutely not.
Yeah. I tell you what, Ron DeSantis, and we'll talk about it a little bit later, is becoming the golden boy of the Republican Party. He indeed might be the guy that on the minds of a large minority, not majority, but a large minority of the conservatives in our country feel could be a good presidential candidate. He's just, come on, you know, he's just barely, he's only been in office as the governor for, you know, a few years now, and barely won that race. If you remember, Andrew Gillum, they were neck and neck. And now you look back and you go, how in heaven's name did Andrew Gillum ever get even close to Ron DeSantis in that vote? So Donald Trump, of course, was number one in terms of the you know, person they would most like to see run for president on the Republican ticket. But he wasn't, it wasn't like a 95%. It was more like in the 70%. Now, these are hardcore conservatives, and he didn't get, although they back his policies to the tune of about 97%, they don't necessarily back him that high for president. So that says something. Of course, 4 years is a long time. I mean, it's an eternity. And we can have, you know, Ron DeSantis right now is the, what do you want to call him, the creme de la creme or whatever it is at this point, golden boy, but in a year, he might have the same fate, God forbid, as Andrew Cuomo. Something will happen, right?
Yeah, unless he trips over his own tongue. You know, he should be in the driver's seat.
Right.
You know.
Right.
Rubio was like that for a while until,
there you go.
You know.
And now Rubio is almost, you know.
We can't stand Rubio.
There's a hot-cold relationship with Rubio.
He's a little flip-flopper, yeah.
Yeah. So you never know. But so far, Ron DeSantis is doing everything right. Now, granted, we had the CPAC conference in Orlando.
Right.
So maybe
there's
a little hometown boy voting in there, I suspect. Then there's Nikki Haley. You know, Nikki Haley is somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
She's had sort of a tepid relationship with Trump.
But, you know, hearing Trump was just refreshing last night. He reminded you that America is still great and will be great again. And the fact that it's not all doom and gloom all the time. You know, and the fact that he wants to always put us first and not last, which is, it's gone back to that, America last. You know, let's do other things first for other people and worry about, you know, let's send money here while we've got people that can't pay their electric bills, but they're going to send money overseas.
Right.
You know, that's just ridiculous.
Right. I think the border crisis is going to do in Biden, actually. I think that whole thing will collapse on him. But you're right, it was refreshing. And now that we've had Biden in there for a while, the contrast and the refreshment, like you said, kind of refreshing, yes, it was.
Mm.
Because Biden is like, I don't know what, he's like a wax doll.
It's a statue, that's what he is.
And he just comes out for a few moments and he's gone again. Trump made himself so available to people. You might hate the guy, but he was available. He would answer your question, mm-hmm. might not like the answer. But he took your question.
Right.
Not Biden.
Nope.
All right. We're going to take our break. And when we come back, cannot wait to talk with Samuel Gregg of the Acton Institute.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Hello, Kellyhead, Tampa Bay. This is former NFL and college football coach Jimmy Johnson. Listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can sure use the attention.
And this is former Major League Baseball player, Hall of Famer Wade Boggs. I also hope you listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can darn sure use the money.
Hi there. This is marine wildlife artist and conservationist Dr. Guy Harvey. Please listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They need to feel worthy.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Esta noche bailamos. Te doy toda mi vida.
Hey, we are back on the first day of March, Monday. So glad you have joined us. Delighted to have back Samuel Gregg. He is a research director at the Acton Institute, and he has put out a piece in the National Review about the conservative fight over the size of government. And in particular, he focuses on an example of that using a child care plan that has been presented by Mitt Romney. Samuel, welcome back to Freedom Works.
Thanks for having me on. It's good to be with you this morning.
It's absolutely my pleasure. And you make a very interesting point. There might be a gap between social conservatives and fiscal conservatives, although one would think you could be both. Is there indeed a gap growing between those two factions?
Well, in my view, yes. I like to think of myself as someone who is a social conservative and a fiscal conservative. But I do think that, for example, the argument that broke out among conservatives about Senator Romney's child care allowance plan reflects a growing division among conservatives about what comes first. Is it social policy and good conservative social policy, or is it good conservative fiscal policy? I mean, here's I think the Romney thing really brought this out, because on the one hand, what Senator Romney was proposing didn't really add that much to the federal budget. I mean, the federal budget is obscenely big, but and $66 billion unfortunately, is small change by the size of the federal budget, right? But what was interesting was that social conservatives were saying, we need this because families are struggling now, conservatives have to show that they're committed to the family, and this is one way in which they can do it. The response of many fiscal conservatives was to say, hang on, we already have a government that is out of control in terms of spending. It's using debt to fuel this spending. Why are conservatives engaging in an expansion of the size of federal spending? Once upon a time, social and fiscal conservatives would have come out with messages about this particular subject that would have been, with some nuances, more or less within the same ballpark. But that is not the case anymore. In fact, I think we can see growing divisions among social conservatives and among fiscal conservatives about this issue of what the role of government should be. And many social conservatives are now saying that they're more comfortable with the government doing more in the economy. And some fiscal conservatives are saying this is a very, very bad idea.
Yeah.
And in the article itself, I don't come down on any one particular side. My point is to say that this is a division that's growing within conservative ranks. And if you've been following these issues for a while, you'll know that this has been going on. And I think we're going to see more of this occurring over the next 2, 3, 4 years. And it's incumbent in a way for conservatives to work this out, because there are, I think most conservatives tend to be fiscal conservatives and also tend to be social conservatives. That's been one of the strengths of the show, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
But if the wheels are starting to fall off that show, which I think they are, then conservatives need to think about, well, how do we put this back together?
Mm-hmm.
And that you know, that requires a lot of thinking about, well, what is it we think government should do?
Right.
And go ahead.
No. I was going to just say what we're talking about reminds me a little bit of some of the, I guess, social moderates that were in the Republican Party years ago. People like Nelson Rockefeller, who was considered a moderate in the Republican Party.
Right.
Now, the Republicans generally are considered very conservatives. And most Democrats are considered quite liberal. And we've had right. that middle ground kind of carved away a little bit with the dirt flying back into the either, you know, the liberal or the conservative area. But I even our terms here, a social conservative to me is actually a conservative on social issues, not a, you know, not a liberal. But I think what you're saying is that there are some physical conservatives that have a bit of a socialized bent, if I could use that word, when it comes to programs for certain groups of people. Am I reading you right on that?
No, I think you're right. I think it's there are some social conservatives who want the government to play a bigger role in shaping some of their core concerns, most of which I think come down to sort of family issues, life issues, etc. And there are some fiscal conservatives who either prioritize fiscal issues right now because they say, look, we're facing a major fiscal crisis in the United States when it comes to government spending, but also who some in some cases, not all, but in some cases, have more socially moderate views on issues like life and family. So, you know, the conservative camp has always had these tensions. There's no doubt about that. I think if you go back through the history of the conservative movement, you can find these tensions bubbling over at different times. And in many cases, they didn't rise to the surface because there was a very much a common enemy, and that enemy was called communism. But when that went away, I think we started to see some fractures starting to open up among within the conservative movement, both about what they think is more important and also what they want to give more priority to. And, you know, the conservative movement has managed many of these internal divisions relatively successfully, I would say, for a long time. But I guess my article was saying, I wonder how long that can continue, yes. given the type of language and priorities, but also the fact that we do have a major crisis of the family in the United States, which social conservatives are rightly worried about. And we do have a major problem with government spending in the United States, which, again, fiscal conservatives are very worried about. Mm-hmm. I'm worried about both, but there are a lot of people who want to give priority to one or the other.
We're talking with Samuel Gregg. He is a research director at the Acton Institute, and he has penned a piece in the National Review, The Conservative Fight Over the Size of Government. And speaking of National Review, Samuel, I wonder what William F. Buckley would think about this discussion about social and, you know, social conservatives and fiscal conservatives.
Sure. You know, that's a good point, because Buckley was very much a social conservative, but he was also a fiscal conservative. He was not in favor of big government. He was not in favor of big government spending. But he also thought that the family, the traditional family, let's call it, needed protection, especially in the 1960s and 1970s, where you had both social conservatism and fiscal conservatism under siege from the left, right? So Buckley, I think, would have said, you know, we need to keep these sides together. They're mutually reinforcing in many particular ways. He would have pointed to civil society, I think, as the way in which you deal with much of this dysfunctionality that you find within families. He would have also pointed out that big government spending often has had the effect of exacerbating and even creating some of these problems for the family in the first place. But, you know, we're living in a very different time to William F. Buckley. We're living in a very different America from the America that existed when Ronald Reagan was elected president in 1980. And it seems to me that some of the tensions we're seeing now emerging between social conservatives on the one hand and fiscal conservatives on the other reflect many of those changes within the United States and frustration, I think, on the part of both social conservatives and fiscal conservatives that their particular priorities have not, they believe, been particularly well served over the past, say, 20, 30 years. So I think it's a fascinating moment from the standpoint of those of us who are interested in observing politics in the conservative movement, because I think in some respects, if these divisions aren't worked out, it simply gives more breathing space and more ammunition and more energy, frankly, to the left.
Do you think the socialists are winning the war in the long run? Maybe losing battles once in a while, but winning the war?
At the moment, I think you would have to say, if you took a sort of cold, hard look at the social, fiscal landscape in terms of the overall United States, I think you would say that the left are generally winning. They're certainly winning in many areas concerned with social policy and the way that they think about the world. It's also, I think, clear that in much of the United States, they're certainly winning when it comes to their thinking about the fiscal side of things. Now, I think there are plenty of people who are opposed to those agendas. They're very vocal about these agendas and very good at critiquing those agendas. But when it comes to, let's call it, the wider culture, I think there's no question in my mind that the left are generally winning in the sense that people have generally more socially progressive views than they did, say, 10, 20 years ago. And we have in the United States on the fiscal side lots of people arguing for a bigger role in for government in the economy, including some people who are advocating more or less outright socialism. So I think the right, generally speaking, has been fighting a series of rearguard actions for a while now. And while there's been some progress on certain fronts, like, for example, the judiciary, I think it's fair to say that, generally speaking, the right is not winning.
Yeah. Trump himself is a big spender in many cases, right? He's a populist. He's not really a rock-hard conservative. He goes to the CPAC conference, and he's treated like a god. But the truth is that he's not really that much of a conservative. A lot of people called him a Democrat for years.
Well, in fact, he was a Democrat for many years.
Yes.
So if you look at President Trump, I mean, what he did, of course, was to pick up with a great deal of dissatisfaction among many conservatives with what they saw as the inability of the Republican Party to deliver on what they thought were core promises. He also, I think, picked up on, especially on the fiscal side, a willingness for government to do more in the economy. So, you know, on the one hand, he reduced taxes, which was great. He both in terms of income tax and corporate tax, I think there were some significant advances there. On the other hand, spending went up and has continued to go up. So in terms, if you're looking at President Trump, would you say that he's a sort of conservative in the way that modern American conservatives have understood that? I think they would say no. He's more of a type of pragmatist more than anything else, and with a heavy dose of populism mixed into that.
I think that's a good description. Samuel Gregg, I know you've got another thing to do. We really appreciate you taking time to talk with us this morning. Just fascinating. I could talk with you for hours. Thank you so much, and I look forward to our next time.
Thanks. Thanks for having me on. It's always good to talk with you.
All right. Samuel Gregg, Acton Institute. He's a busy guy this morning, let me tell you. All right, we're going to take our break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about what Donald Trump had to say at CPAC, and also what Andrew Cuomo, the governor of New York, has to say these days with the eye in our northern sky, Angelo Ceresi.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning. Hi, I'm Paul Allen.
And I'm Tracy Allen.
Please join us every weekday morning from 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
You can also watch us on Facebook Live on our Good Morning Clearwater Facebook page and on YouTube. Just search Tan Talk Radio Network.
Every morning we'll be talking about current events, sports.
Yay, sports!
News, entertainment, weather, and traffic. Have an opinion? You can call us.
That's right. Join us every weekday morning, 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
We're back. Freedom Works. By the way, we are here Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Great Tan Talk Radio Network. And we are so happy you can join us this morning. If for any reason your busy schedule does not allow you to listen to us live, you may listen to us on podcast. Big Ed sets up every show there. All you got to do, go to OurFreedomWorks.com. OurFreedomWorks.com. Look at the top. There you go. Get in there. Choose your show, and away you go. Well, so I'm watching Donald Trump yesterday. He got there late, by the way. I don't know if he must have gotten on the plane a little bit late from Mar-a-Lago. I wonder if does he have an airport right in Mar-a-Lago, or does he have to go over to the West Palm Beach airport? Maybe they helicopter him to the West Palm Beach airport, and then they fly him from there. But anyway, so he was late. And he gets there, and I guess he was, I don't know exactly how long he was on there talking, but Ed, it sounded like the same old Donald Trump to me. It's like he didn't miss a beat. And then when we compare him to Joe Biden, who just sort of, you know, he's always in the forest hiding behind a tree somewhere. That's Joe Biden. So he comes out, he's fresh, he sounded good, he looked good, everybody was cheering. I would say a good time was had by all in Orlando with that whole bit.
Definitely a success. I can put that there.
Exactly right.
A lot of people tried to get in that couldn't get in.
That's right. Thousands tried to get in. And Donald Trump made note of that. Now, they did a little poll, asked flatly whether they wanted to see Trump run again. 68% said yes. Now, that's not that high considering those are conservatives. 68%, he didn't even hit 70% that wanted to see him run again. I found that to be very interesting. However, when stacked up against 20 others in the straw poll, Trump was 55%, and Florida Governor Ron DeSantis came in at 23%. And speaking of governors, what's going on with Andrew Cuomo? I think we're starting to count the days while he's still governor. Some other woman's popped up. Now even people, you know, even CNN and MSNBC, they got to say something. They got to say something. So we've got our eye in the northern sky, and he lives in, of all places, New York, Rochester, New York. Angelo, is the heat on the stove getting a little too hot for the governor of New York?
Seems like it. He's saying, well, maybe I meet. Have said something that was misconstrued, you know?
Yes. How do you misconstrue? Hey, do you want to play strip poker with me? How do we misconstrue that one? Of course, he was on a plane at the time, so I guess they couldn't really do it at that moment, right?
Well, I don't know, but the expression now is no more Cuomo.
No more Cuomo. Well, he says he was being playful. He attempted to explain his interactions with staffers. I mean, when you start saying, well, I was being playful, it's like, well, okay, I did say it. It's like admitting he said it, right?
Yeah. But what I want to know is, where's the hashtag MeToo people?
Yeah.
Alyssa Milano, Kamala Harris, you know, all these people that, you know, that stood up for everybody else, but they believed.
Crickets.
Lazy Ford.
Crickets. That's where they are. Speaking about that, guess who showed up at the CPAC conference and was accosted by a conservative? Who do you think I'm talking about?
You got me. I didn't get that one.
Jim Acosta.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Jim Acosta. Yeah,
they were booing him, weren't they?
Not only that. Some CPAC lady came up and said, "Why aren't you talking on your network about Andrew Cuomo? What's going on with that?" And the normally eloquent Acosta was totally tongue-tied. He couldn't answer that one. He said, I'm here to cover the CPAC conference was his answer. How's that for a great answer, right?
Only from Jim Acosta will that come out like that.
Hey, guess what? Your brother's on. I thought we were able to keep him off just for once. But apparently, Andrew, are you there?
I'm here, Paul. I was in between doctor's appointments. We got it all set up.
Oh,
yes.
I'm so happy for you.
You know, I got to say something in Andrew Cuomo's defense. Okay?
Uh-oh, I'm going to hide behind a tree. Go ahead.
I mean, he's talking to women. Okay, now, I joke around with women all the time. I was a hairdresser for 25 years.
Yes.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I've joked around with women and said lines that he said to women, and I don't find it no big deal, and at this point, I think everybody is trying to get him out of there, which he should be. But I'm taking the girls as a grain of salt, man, because everybody used the women as a tax. And I can tell you a story that happened this weekend in Pinch-a-Penny that I almost fell on the floor.
Oh, tell us.
I mean, seriously, and this was taken so out of context, and it was a big scene made in the store by this woman.
Now, first of all, for the people that don't live in Florida, Pinch-a-Penny is a pool supply, a retail store. Go ahead.
This woman came in, and she was having problems with her pool filter, okay? And she went up to the serviceman and says, I'm having this problem, I'm having that problem. And he says, well, what kind of a pump do you have? This woman went right out of her mind and started yelling and screaming at the guy.
Why?
He asked her, she must have taken this wrong. Who knows how they take it
oh,
in their
I
mind.
See.
I mean, he asked what kind of a pump you have. That's a normal question in
yes,
a pool
it is.
Store.
Sure, pool pumps. Absolutely.
And this woman went ballistic.
She was thinking of another kind of a pump. Okay, I got it now.
I said, this is a Democrat. It's got to be.
Isn't that funny?
And I said that right out loud, too. I looked at her. You got to be a Democrat.
Oh, you, and what? Can I ask what
I
she
mean,
said?
I mean, she created a scene. This poor guy's following her up. Man, what did I say wrong
right.
to you?
Right, right.
You know, it's terrible. And women nowadays, a lot of them, man, will come down. I mean, I used to tease women all the time. I still do.
I know you do.
And it is harmless thing. It's harmless thing.
Of course.
And I think they're taking a lot of things out of context, to be honest with you.
And I think you're right. Angelo, do you agree with your brother that maybe Andrew Cuomo, this is actually, they're just looking for a way to get him out?
Nah, he's that's the way he is. He's arrogant. He's bully and, you know, all this is, just got to get rid of him. He's no good.
Do you think they're going to get rid of him? What's the odds?
I'll tell you what. He's a Democrat. They're going to stick together. Nothing's going to happen to him.
You don't think so?
No.
I'm surprised.
They're going to stick together more than the Republicans do.
Okay, for example, what is the Rochester? Do you get the Rochester news or on TV, the Rochester local? Do they talk in negative terms about Cuomo? Are they covering for him in Rochester?
No. They're telling what's happening, but nobody has really said anything negative towards him.
What about all these older people that have died when he moved all of those COVID patients back into nursing homes and then covered up the data?
I mean, just speaking about it, saying what he did, you know. But you got some legislators that are saying he has to resign. You got some legislators that they want
even Democrats. Even Democrats want him. Some Democrats in the General Assembly, right?
Right. Yes, in the General Assembly and in the Senate of New York.
Yeah. So when you see some of the mainstream, which is another word, Andrew, for liberal, by the way, you know that some of the mainstream magazines and medias and everything starting to turn a little bit on Cuomo. Do you think his days are numbered, Andrew?
No.
Really?
No, not at all. He's going to finish it
He's
out.
He's going to make it.
I would bet that they reelect him again.
You think they'd reelect him again in New York? You
oh,
think?
Of course.
Really?
And listen, it's a Democrat state. Period.
Mm-hmm.
He lost. Period. During the election,
he would win again, and it wouldn't matter. But you know, Paul, through this whole COVID thing, from the day it started, nobody knew what to expect, how to handle it, or anything. So people were making decisions without knowing anything that was going on. I'm not saying he was right by putting him in the nursing home, but who knew what was right at that point?
Right. Everybody was trying to do, and there was no question that his intent was not to harm people.
And the big thing in my mind is now is Ron kept this state open the whole time, basically.
Ron DeSantis, right? Governor of New York,
right.
Governor of Florida.
And we've been fine. And you know what? I think if we didn't do nothing, the country would have been fine.
In other words, we could have just wandered around even without masks, and we wouldn't have any difference?
Paul, we would have had the herd immunity. Look at the Amish people, okay? They don't watch television. They don't have electricity, whatever. They didn't get shots. They didn't wear masks. They have herd immunity. I guess the Amish community in Pennsylvania lost 7 people, and they said they were all older people with different complications.
Well, that's also because nobody...
They have herd immunity in the Amish community.
That's also because nobody else besides Amish are among each other. They're all by themselves. They're like on an island.
No, this is true. This is true. But, you know, who knows what would have been, what could have happened. Because they still don't know. Look at Fucci. He's telling you to cover your body in masks yet. Come on.
Now I got to ask.
People are over it.
I got to ask you, Andrew. Did you watch any of Trump's CPAC speech yesterday?
Yes, I did. Of course.
And how did you feel about him referring back to the fact that? Well, let's be honest. He started talking about the fact that he still thought he won. He talked about the fact that he's going to win for a third time. He's going to win for a third time. That was kind of funny.
I think the guy is right. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, listen. The election was stolen. I still believe that. And there's bits and pieces coming out here and there every day with this thing. However, where are we at now? Biden's messing up everything. We all know that.
We can all say that.
He's the most disastrous president in 30 days that this country's ever seen.
Yeah. Say, Angelo, I know you aren't that close to the southern border, not as close as... Andrew and I are, but do you think that this whole thing with illegal aliens is going to do in Biden, and particularly when it comes to the off-year elections in 2 years where the Republicans take back both the Senate and the House?
I would think so, yes. In fact, you know, getting back to the election day, I was talking to a friend of mine, Joe DelVecchio. Andy knows him. And Trump should just keep going forward. Forget about the election now, but just keep going forward seeing what we're going to do now. But yes, I do think that the
immigration
border is going to do him in.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's opened up the borders. I guess he says he wants to give these people the shots. What about us Americans?
Yeah, it's like giving a wink and a nod to these people to start pouring in again, isn't it? I mean, I would think that as soon as they heard that, a lot of these people that have been waiting thought, okay, we're getting the code. Let's go.
Right. They're amassing at the border now.
Yeah. Andrew.
And they're going to take jobs away from our people. I mean, I don't know. Is this what the big corporations want? You know?
Well, some do. Yeah. We've got that situation. So, Andrew, they took a poll and... This is at the CPAC conference. I got to find it again. But I found it to be rather interesting when they said whether or not Trump should run again. Now, these are CPAC people. 68% said yes. But that leaves 32% that said no, rather see somebody else run. Do you think, in a way, even though Trump's still the most popular guy, that he's losing a little bit of his conservative support?
No, Paul, I think what you're seeing is that he's going to be 78 years old.
78. Yeah, you're right about that. 78.
He's
going to
be 78 years old, Paul. Yeah. And as we're seeing, 78 years old is apparently too old for a president.
Yes, indeed.
We're seeing it. And let me tell you,
that's a good answer.
Mr. Biden is.
Okay.
Okay. It's not going to be just the immigration. Now, he bombed Iranians in Syria the other day, right? Last week?
He did go into Syria after criticizing Trump. He certainly went into Syria with an excuse that he had a right to do so.
Okay.
Yes.
Now he had his open borders, doesn't he?
He keeps talking about our compassion.
How many of those Iranians you're going to think are going to sneak in that border and do another September 11th?
Well, there are going to be more Mexicans sneaking in than Iranians. Let's be honest about it.
Well, they're right, but there are going to be people trying to get in to do certain things, Paul.
There's always
and
that.
That's their open door to do it.
There's always that issue. I think also, and you brought it up, Angelo, I'm sure you agree, these people are pouring in. They may have COVID. They may have
Absolutely.
Other diseases.
I mean, they talk about a surge in the spikes of COVID-19. Letting all these illegal aliens in is going to let it happen again.
Exactly. Well, I tell you what, these are some very interesting times. Very
interesting. Paul?
Yeah.
What I would like President Trump to do is run for Congress out there in Florida.
Really?
Yes, and if the Republicans win the House and the Senate, he can become the Speaker of the House, and the Republicans can impeach Biden and Harris. He becomes president because he's third in line. And he can run again in 24.
I wonder where I heard that before. It seems to me... is your brother getting into your brain and talking about these things with you, Angelo? Because this is exactly what your brother said. Exactly.
Well, I was talking to him about it.
Oh, so you put the bug in Andrew's ear. Now I understand. And Andrew...
He's lying. He's lying. I was the one that brought
You're the one. Okay. Well, I'll tell you what, Angelo, do you buy into that then? That might be an idea. So he.
Well, you know, the thing is, the Democrats didn't withhold anything. And if the Republicans, if you can get rid of those 10 Republicans that voted to impeach the president, Liz Cheney and those people, get rid of them, and you get Trump supporters in, you get rid of the... 7 Republicans who voted to indict the president, or to convict, I mean.
Convict, right.
Get rid of them. That's how you take over the party, just like the insurgents did with the Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say, no holds barred. An eye for an eye. What they did to us, we should do to them.
I think this is a very interesting concept. And I really mean it. I wonder if Trump is mulling this idea over. Guys, it's been a pleasure talking with both of you. A real treat. Thank you, Angelo, for coming on. And Andrew, we'll talk.
Appreciate it.
Yeah. And Andrew, we'll talk again tomorrow.
Talk to you. You got it, buddy. Have a good day.
Bro. All right.
Take care.
Take care, boys. There they go. The Ceresi brothers. We're going to take our break. When we come back, we're dusting off Wilbur. Our latest edition of Campus Quackery.
Here she come now, say, morning, morning.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Join Joe Pippin for Ask an Attorney Radio Show, Saturday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m. Ask an Attorney is Florida's longest-running radio show for over 35 years now. So if you've got a question for an attorney, call Joe Pippin during his live radio show. Ask a question. Get an answer. Free of charge, of course. Saturday mornings, live from 8 to 9 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network. Or to contact Joe Pippin directly, call 727-586-3306.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back on Freedom Works, and thank you so very much. By the way, don't forget Good Morning Clearwater, Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m. here on the Tantalk Radio Network, Paul and Tracy Allen. They're a lot of fun to listen to, and they keep you updated on what's happening in the world of entertainment and news and sports. 8 to 10 a.m., Good Morning Clearwater. So I love catching hypocrites in action, and we've had a bunch of them with the restaurant closings during the COVID, with some of these policies. I think Newsom, the governor of California, got caught in another restaurant, but that's another story. In the meantime, the president of the teachers union in Berkeley, California, and you can imagine how liberal the teachers union would be in Berkeley, California, was caught dropping off his two-year-old daughter at a private school, meanwhile defending school closures in his district. Indeed. Wilbur, you're coming on early, because this isn't even my campus quackery. That's all right.
No,
Wilbur understands. Wilbur knows. He knows hypocrisy when he sees it. But this is funny. This guy gets caught doing this. And then he says, here's his answer. Oh, by the way, he's a white guy that wears dreadlocks. Now picture that.
Mm-hmm.
A white guy with dreadlocks. He says, there's a major difference in running a small preschool, where his daughter goes, and a 10,000-student public school district. Oh, I see. Okay. Private school for your kid, and she goes to school. Public school, they don't open. That's okay. The heck with those people. All right, there you go.
Ron DeSantis said that the reason that our schools are open is because he basically gave the teachers an ultimatum, and Biden won't do that because he doesn't want to upset the unions.
Exactly. We all know Biden.
And Mark Levin said that in his state of Virginia, he said that their schools have been closed for a year, and the teachers last year, even though they were closed, got a 7% pay raise.
It's disgusting. No one. Why would you want a teacher getting a pay raise to sit home? Okay. Wilbur. Oh, did Wilbur go to sleep?
No, he's still there.
Wilbur, stay there, Wilbur, because I got another story for you. Celebrated American children's author Dr. Seuss. Did you read Dr. Seuss when you were a boy?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
I didn't bring that.
He's now considered too controversial for one of the largest school districts in Virginia. For over two decades, his birthday has been celebrated in schools as Read Across America Day. And he became beloved. That's a day dedicated to reading and literacy. But following pressure from activists, Loudoun County Public Schools in Virginia is dropping Dr. Seuss. Quote, realizing that many schools continue to celebrate Read Across America Day in partial recognition of Dr. Seuss's birthday, it's important for us to be cognizant of research that may challenge our practice. Here's the deal. Some of the little characters that he created had different colors.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
All the different, there were some that were orange, right, and some that were green, and some that were, I don't know what. So apparently they have found a way to come up with the idea that he was actually discriminating against black people. Learning for Justice cited a study that claims Seuss's books are covered with Orientalism, anti-blackness, and white supremacy. Did you ever see any of that when you were growing up with Dr. Seuss?
No. You know, white supremacy is tied to everything. You can have a bad meal these days and it's tied to white supremacy.
By the way, speaking like our former Governor Jeb Bush, please quack. Where's my quack? Thank you. Please quack. There we go.
Hold his tail.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Enough of this nonsense. And this is nonsense. You know, Mark Twain with Tom Sawyer and Huckleberry Finn and all of that. I mean, we read those books as kids. But you can't, basically, they're out now, you know. You can't read, because of the slavery thing.
I mean, a story like that, do you think there was a group of people that actually came up with that? Or one idiot?
Probably one idiot, but
there's too much time on his hands.
Exactly right. That's one idiot with too much time on his hands and a lot of sheep, right,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
That follow him. Okay, it's time for our top 10, and on Friday, we did the top 10 best beaches, according to TripAdvisor, in the world. I don't know. I should have done it second. But we're going to do the top 10 in the United States. Let's find out if Big Ed can figure out what's number one and number two. All right, I'm gonna hold you there. Okay, here we go. Number 10, Hawaii, Kauala Beach Park. Have you ever been to Hawaii?
No.
Okay, then you haven't been to Kauala Beach Park. Number 9, Florida. It's Madeira Beach. You been to Madeira Beach?
Yeah.
Is it okay?
I don't think so.
No? Why not?
I don't think there's that much a beach unless they've re-nourished it or whatever.
Re-nourished it a little bit?
Yeah, I don't think there was that much a beach.
Okay, a little small on the beach size.
Yeah.
Number 8. Back to Hawaii. This is Waianapanapa.
It could be Winapanapa. I don't know.
I'm trying my best.
Go ahead.
Okay, Waianapanapa State Park in Hawaii. Okay, number 7.
Sound like a bunch of Hawaiians are going to call you to correct you.
And I've been to this place, Ogunquit Beach in Maine. It's right on the Atlantic. It's a beautiful tourist town. If you ever get a chance, Ogunquit. Number 6. Back to Hawaii, Napoli Beach. I don't even know which island that's on. On Napoli Beach, Hawaii. This next one's interesting. Number 5. Would you believe that Oregon has the 5th nicest beach in the country?
Wow.
Yeah, it's Cannon Beach in Oregon. I wonder if you can ever swim in that water up there, even in July. I wonder if it's pretty cold, the Pacific, you know? You're not interested, are you?
I'm listening.
Okay. Number 4. Back to Hawaii, Wailea Beach. Wailea Beach in Hawaii. Number 3. Now, this is interesting. This is the first beach coming out of California. We've had, you know, 7 beaches, and California wasn't mentioned. This is Moonstone Beach in California. I don't even know where in California it is. Okay, number 2. Ed, do you want to guess what state it's in?
Let's go back to Hawaii, I guess.
You're right. It's Kaanapali Beach, I guess it's pronounced Kaanapali Beach in Hawaii. All right. All right. Now Ed is being Ed's got to be conducting 2 conversations at one time here. But I'm gonna ask Ed if you want to make a guess on what is the number one beach in the United States according to TripAdvisor.
Lola was just reminding me, since she's lived in Hawaii.
Well, she would have known these beaches.
You were butchering those names.
Oh, I know I was. Thanks a lot, Lola. I'm doing the best I can. Gee.
All right, here we go. Going to say it's in Florida and it's St. Pete Beach. This is number one, right?
You are, first of all, it is number one, and bingo, you are correct.
And Clearwater Beach did not make the top 10.
It didn't make the top 10. Now, Clearwater Beach is a beautiful beach, and it's a fun beach. It's a fun beach. People love going there because you can do things besides sit and look at the water and the sun, right?
I think it's more restrictive than ever right now, and I think that's what's holding it back.
Really?
Yeah. There's a lot into that.
And St. Pete Beach is less restrictive?
I believe so.
Why is Clearwater Beach more restrictive, do you think?
I guess
we don't know, huh?
Because it's the way politicians are here.
Okay. Fair enough. Well, my friends, thank you so very much for being with us. We will be back tomorrow, Tuesday. Be safe, and remember, freedom works.
She's simply